Welcome to Stories from the Locker Room, a News Hub podcast that interviews sporting greats about their career highlights, lowlights, controversies, and legacy. This week, News Hub's Grant Chapman sits down with Kiwi rowing great Mahi Drysdale. Gunning for one more shot at Olympic glory in Tokyo, the veteran rower gives us an insight into one of the most dedicated careers in New Zealand sporting history. It's Mahi Drysdale on Stories from the Locker Room.
You know, there's two guys in history that have won three consecutive Olympic gold medals in the single scull. And, you know, I want to be the third. So that would, you know, pretty much, you know, finish my career on an absolute high. And hopefully that's what I can achieve.
He's one of New Zealand's greatest ever Olympians, but rower Mahi Drysdale is far from done. The double gold medalist has his eyes planted on Tokyo 2021 with a chance to join a very select group of three-time Olympic champions. The lanky lad was born in Melbourne to an Aussie dad and a Kiwi mum and didn't call New Zealand home until 1988, and that's when his Olympic dream was sparked.
I came back to New Zealand as an 11-year-old, and you know, it's been my home since then. So it very much feels like home to me, New Zealand, and even though I wasn't born here. And I love sport and wanted to go to the Olympics from being watching the 1988 Olympics. What I really remember was Carl Lewis, you know, watching him in the sprinting events. And unfortunately, I was never a good enough runner to ever get close to emulating that. But yeah, that was sort of my first, I guess, memory of the Olympics and what it was all about.
Drysdale flirted with several sports as a young man, but by the age of 18, his Olympic dream was dead as he focused on a life without sport. That was until a weekend away with his mates in the university capital of New Zealand.
When I got to university, I'd pretty much given up that dream and focusing on academics and that sort of thing. And then I you know, heard about the Easter tourney, and they said, oh, you know, my mates were going and said, you know, we've got to get along to this. And basically what it boiled down to was you had to make a university team. And rowing had a novice event, so yeah, we got eight guys together and went down to Dunedin and had a whale of a time. The rowing was probably forgettable, but you know, the rest of it was fun, and that sort of just gave me my first taste of rowing. And from there, it was just, you know, the club said, "Oh, come along every Sunday and you know, do an outing." And before long, I was, you know, 6 days a week out rowing, and yeah, I guess the rest is history.
The day-in, day-out grind of rowing took its toll, and Drysdale admits he lacked the motivation to take his career beyond the club scene. That was until he watched fellow Kiwi Rob Waddell win Olympic gold on the lakes of Penrith in 2000.
Black gold at Penrith Lakes. Rob Waddell of New Zealand, gold medal. The double world champ is the Olympic champ.
Yeah, I rode for a few years and decided that again that it was just too hard a sport. You know, even as a, you know, just a club rower, you're training, you know, probably 8 to 10 times a week, and you know, it's every day that you're out there training. And I was at university and sort of working part time and just gave it away. And then watched the Sydney Olympics and watched Rob win, and that was really what inspired me to come back to the sport. And I thought, you know, I'll give us another crack, see if I can, you know, break into the you know, the top echelons. And probably happened a little bit sooner than I expected, because I came back at the end of 2000, and by March 2001 I was being asked to move down to Karapiro and train with the team. And you know, that was, I guess, a lot about timing. We'd lost all our athletes, basically, after Sydney. They were desperate, looking for people. And I was a club rower and had no, like, now I wouldn't even be looked at, you know, with the standard we have across the country. But, you know, that was one of our most successful development crews. They picked eight of us. That included Eric Murray, myself, There was Carl Meyer, Donald Leach. That was our four that went to the Athens Olympics. And then, you know, a number of those other guys, you know, made teams. So, you know, it was a very, very successful, you know, I guess, development eight, which really built the building blocks of the men's program for, you know, the next years to come.
Drysdale slogged away for 3 years in the build-up to the 2004 Athens Olympics, his four claiming a creditable fifth place in Greece. But he wanted to be a champion, so decided to give the single sculls a crack, not knowing if he was even good enough to go it alone.
It was really a decision post Athens, and you know we finished fifth in Athens in the four, and I probably decided there that you know I wanted to continue in that sport, and I wanted to be back, and I wanted to be in a position to win a gold medal by the time I got to Beijing. And I guess the single was, you know, I wasn't 100% sure how good I was, and I wanted to go in the single and find out. And I guess that was almost a make-break kind of thing. If, you know, I became a world champion my first year in the single, but had that not happened and I didn't crack into the single, you know, potentially I would have retired and given away the sport. So, you know, that was really what going in the single was about, was to try to work out how good I was and whether, you know, rowing was really the sport for me or not.
Drysdale would become the centrepiece of one of the most successful eras in New Zealand rowing, the Ever Swindell sisters, Hamish Bond and Eric Murray, providing him teammates that wouldn't accept anything but the absolute best. A measuring stick for Drysdale in a discipline where he was very much alone.
You know, I've always had training partners. So, you know, like I started in 2005 with the Ever Swindell twins.
Gold at Athens for Georgina and Caroline Ever Swindell.
The women's double and the men's single, you know, at that time was 2 seconds between the world records. So it was a very, very good measuring stick. And, you know, I've pretty much throughout my career, I've realised that is going to push me the best is having someone sitting beside me. So I've been fortunate. I've generally always had a double who have been close to world champions. And, you know, I've always had people out, you know, in this building training together. So although I'm by myself in my boat, you know, there is a team and, you know, it's not that lonely. When you're having a bad day in the single, it's pretty bad existence out there and it can get pretty lonely. But, you know, I've been very fortunate throughout my career to always have good training partners and always be, you know, part of a wider team.
A singles world championship was achieved quickly for Drysdale in 2005. Although months earlier, his career was almost cut short by a nasty accident that left the Kiwi with a fractured neck.
Yeah, we were just training here in April of that year, and I got hit by a water skier and had two fractures of my vertebrae, and was out of the boat for 10 days out of the boat. It's a funny story actually. That was Dick Tonks was my coach, and you know the doctors had said, you know, you've probably got 5 or 6 weeks until you can get back into it, and. You know, said we'll sort of assess it after three, and after 10 days, Dick just came up and said, "Oh well, we're kind of running out of time, so you need to be back in the boat on Monday." And I was like, "Oh, okay," and I was still pretty sore, and I remember I couldn't even carry my boat down to the water, and got back in and sort of took a few strokes, and I was like, oh, "Yeah, I'm still pretty sore." But, you know, once you start getting into it, you sort of forgot about it and got on with it. And 6 weeks after that injury, I was at the World Cup and I finished second in my first international race. So that was sort of supposedly when I was supposed to be starting back rowing. But, you know, I got away in a lot of way, you know, pretty lucky in the fact that where he hit me, you know, it was right in the middle of my spine. And so the spine took the impact, and you know I had very stable fractures. They weren't going to do any damage, and you know the doctors had already said at the time. They said, you know, it's really just about pain management, and so I just had to train through a bit of pain. But you know I was still pretty young and eager at those stages, so I got through that pretty well, and you know it was a pretty special year.
Drysdale arrived at the 2008 Beijing Olympics as a triple world champion and the hottest of favourites to claim the gold medal. But the final would prove to be the most devastating moment of his career, as illness left an exhausted Drysdale clinging on to bronze.
Here goes Mahe Drysdale for New Zealand, followed by Norway, followed by the Czech Republic, Belgium, Britain and Sweden. He's going so well. It's a question of the sickness. Will that stop him rather than any of the competitors? As we've got down to 400, the big names are lining up, and it's been Drysdale, Sinek and Tufte at major regattas around the world in the last 2-3 years. And the Olympic champion is getting closer to Mahe Drysdale, who's looking across. Can he sustain it? Will Beijing Valley get to him in the end?
He's going.
Here comes Drysdale. He's rattling in. It's 200 metres out. Here comes Tufte coming home quickly. And also here comes Andre Sinek. And Tufte and Sinek are closing down on Drysdale. Drysdale's giving all he can. But Norway's going to get it. Norway's got in front of Drysdale. Norway's got there. It is back-to-back Olympic victories for Norway. The Czech Republic second. And for New Zealand, black to bronze.
Without that performance, though, the success to follow would never have been possible.
It was pretty bittersweet. I'm very proud of that race, and I'm proud of it because I know I gave it absolutely everything. And there hasn't been a race before, and there hasn't been a race since, that I've collapsed like that. That's the one race in my career where I have absolutely pushed myself, to my limit and beyond it. And, there's not another race in my career that I can say I've been to that place. I certainly don't want to have to go to that place again, and hopefully I never will. But so, in that respect, I was very proud of what I achieved. But I missed out on that Olympic gold medal, and I really felt like I'd given that one away because I was in a good form and very capable of winning it. That set me up for what I've achieved since. And, I look at what happened between, 2008 and 2012, and, with injuries, I had a serious back injury. Arthritis was in my back is basically what I was diagnosed in 2011. I had two bike crashes, one the day before the World Champs in 2011. I went on and won that one. I had one 6 weeks before the Olympics, couldn't row for 3 weeks in 2012. And, so it was both of those times, there was a lot of obstacles, I guess, building up to 2012, and I still went and achieved what I did. And had I not had that result in Beijing, I may not have been able to overcome all those things, because it just gave me that opportunity to really look back. And I guess the biggest key for me was Beijing, I was good enough to win, but I wasn't good enough to win no matter what. And I guess I had won 3 world championships. I'd set the world best time, and I was focused on winning and doing what I needed to win. And the change of focus after that was being the best I could possibly be. So I knew that, to go to London, I had to be prepared for no matter what got thrown in my path, I could overcome it and still win. So I had to be much better than just being good enough to win. And, that was really the change in focus. And, I felt like what happened, in those 4 years, possibly would have derailed me had I not sort of had that change in focus.
You're listening to Stories from the Locker Room, a News Hub podcast.
Drysdale's boyhood dream came true in 2012 at the London Olympics.
100 metres to go to the line. Mahe Drysdale, the spiritual captain and leader of the Kiwi rowing team. 10 strokes to the line. Mahe Drysdale, a lifelong dream, a quest. Now he comes. 2 more strokes to the line. He is the Olympic champion.
Go New Zealand.
Fantastic. That gold medal performance was the culmination of a near 8-year dominance of his sport. But he wanted more. At age 33, Drysdale set focus on becoming a double Olympic champion 4 years later at Rio. Surely the perfect ending to a glorious career.
I guess leading up to that Olympics, I thought that that was going to be my swan song, and you know, I was prepared to retire after that. Again, I looked at everything and, you know, really, really focused on what I had achieved, you know, what I was doing. And most of the reason, I guess, for thinking that I was going to retire was my age. You know, I thought I'm 37 years old. You know, I've probably seen the best of what I can offer. So I'm not sure that, you know, that I can continue. And I started hitting some of the best, you know, form of my life. I thought, man, if I can do this at 37, I didn't expect it. You know, I think I can probably, you know, keep improving over the next 4 years and be even better at 41. And you know, that was, I guess, a challenge to me, was can I still, you know, produce these sort of results at 41, because I'd already felt like I'd extended beyond where I thought was possible, and you know, it was a pretty good challenge to go on, do my fifth Olympics, and give me that opportunity of you know, becoming the most successful single sculler of all time.
Tokyo 2020 became Tokyo 2021 thanks to COVID-19, but Drysdale's commitment to the single sculls wavered in the build-up to his final Olympic Games. He flirted with the idea of recapturing one of the greatest moments in New Zealand sporting history, winning as part of an eights crew alongside fellow legend Hamish Bond.
Potentially, I'd still be in the eight had we qualified it. I felt like we didn't perform as well as we should have at the World Champs final, and you know, we ended up missing out by half a second, and you know, that was incredibly disappointing. In the single, you think about it, you change it, and next stroke you do it. You know, the eight, you have to think about it, you then have to figure out what it is, because it might not be you, it might be a combination, or you know, and then you have to communicate it, and then you have to change it. You know, rather like in the single, you can change from stroke to stroke, because you think it, you do it, you know, and it's done. The eight, you know, that might be five or six strokes even, just to make one small change, and then you sort of see how it goes, and then it takes another five or six strokes. So, you know, it was a very different experience. But, you know, again, I really enjoyed it. And, you know, again, it's a very exciting race. It's really more about who slows down the least. It's a flat tack start and then hold the speed as long as you can. I guess it's more comparable maybe to the 100 metres talking about, you know, it's the guy that decelerates the least is the guy that wins it. You know, there's no more adding to the speed. So, you know, it was a really enjoyable year, and an experience, and it's still something I still consider as an option, because you know, it's something that I felt like we didn't get to where I wanted to finish it. You know, I wasn't as suited to the eight as I am to the single. In saying that, I still think I added to the boat, but there's a few more things in the single that sort of balance the scales, I guess, towards that over the eight.
But was there any truth to the scuttlebutt that Drysdale and Bond engaged in a clash of egos that derailed the eight's challenge?
Oh, I think we had our disagreements at times. You know, the boys used to say it's the goat fight, and yeah, you know, there was certainly times that we didn't agree, you know, and that's just normal, I think, in any scenario like that. You know, we've both come from different boats, we've both been successful in those boats, and potentially didn't always see eye to eye, but I don't think that ever held us back. We've been teammates for years, training partners for a number of those, and you know, he's an incredible athlete, and it was fantastic to be in the boat with him, and you know, just training with him on a daily basis. And I guess it wasn't that different in the fact that you know, we'd done a lot of training together over the time, and you know, when he was in the single or when he was in the pair even, you know, we were training partners, but to actually get to row with him was pretty awesome.
Ultimately, Drysdale's final chapter will be written in the single sculls, but did that 1 year delay, thanks to the coronavirus pandemic, almost bring a premature end to his storied career?
Yeah, it was a big thing, and you know, it took a while to get my head around that because yeah, you're starting to sort of think, you know, we're just about at the end, and then you're suddenly thrown another 12 months on top of that, and you know that is tough. But as I say, like, you know, once I really, you know, looked at it, planned, I realised that there was, you know, a big advantage I'd been a little bit short on time, trying to put the campaign and the single together, and you know, by extending that another 12 months, there's no excuse about time. I've got all the time I need. It's you know, now it's up to me to go out and make sure that I make the most of it.
Drysdale admits that another delay to Tokyo will bring the curtain down on his career, but he has nothing left to prove if that outcome becomes reality.
I'd be quite comfortable, to be honest, and I guess that's what I came to grips with in lockdown is, you know, I'm doing this because I love it. I still really want to go to Tokyo, and there's, you know, there's no less motivation to go and do as well as I possibly can. But I've achieved everything I need to achieve. I've been to four Olympics, so for me, you know, if for any reason Tokyo didn't happen, then it's not going to be the end of the world for me. And you know, as I say, that sort of takes a little bit of a pressure off in some ways, because you know, if it's not, like, I think, you know, a lot of athletes sort of are worried that it might not happen. It's going to be a waste of your year that you've trained for it, and it sort of gets cancelled. Whereas, yeah, I just don't see it that way. And you know, if I train, it's because I was preparing for Tokyo. And if something out of my control means that it's cancelled, well, I'll just take that and I'll move on with my life.
The goal remains the same for Drysdale: win and cement himself as one of the greatest Olympians in New Zealand sporting history.
You know, there's two guys in history that have won three consecutive Olympic gold medals in the single scull, and you know, I want to be the third. So that would you know, pretty much you know, finish my career on an absolute high, and hopefully that's what I can achieve.
You've been listening to News Hub's Stories from the Locker Room. Next time, we chat to former New Zealand Warriors forward Sione Fa'amuina. The controversial rugby league star reveals for the first time the real reason why he left the club.